Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
Great. Love, sex, and the gap. Yes, we talk about sex in church because it's something that's a very important part of our life. And what if we don't talk about it? What does that say about us? Amen? You get what I'm saying, yeah? And the same for your home. Who's going to teach your young ones about these things? Are you going to allow the world full access? Are you going to sign away your right and your responsibility to sit down in your home and speak about these things? Are you going to sign that away and leave it for the rumors that goes around at school or university? That's not what God wants. Amen. So we start at church, we take it to our homes, and this is actually very close to my heart. Tonight I'm really going to go for some truth. Now, what I just want to say about truth, when truth gets shared into your life, it is true that people can really try and hurt you with the truth. Do you agree with me? You did that. Is it true? Yes, you did. You did mess up back then. So they pull your file and they say, and they use the truth to hurt you, right? So it is true that the truth often hurts. And it's used with malice at times. What is also true about truth is that it can be facilitated into a conversation with love. The truth then still hurts, but in a different sense. It makes us uneasy because you're hearing something that can help you and you realize you're not living in that. So it's more an uncomfortable truth, but at least it's coming on love. Are you with me? And so tonight, my heart is not to shy away from truth, to really bring the truth, preach the word, and set you up to succeed. When it comes to relationships, it's the same with your quiet time relationship with God or your walk with the Holy Spirit. God is always inviting you to a higher place with Him. Set your mind on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. He's always inviting us up, always. And what that means is if you are living and you don't get moved by truth, which are showing you, oh, you can be at a better place with God. That never ends. Never ends. Even if you're 80, you're still, if you're worshiping God, you're still moving. The only thing that moves you close to God is truth. The truth of your heart. Wow, my heart is not fully with God. Is that nice to hear? No. But when God whispered it to you, He's inviting you to bring your heart then to that place of truth. And the same is true of relationships. Truth moves you. All right? And so tonight, doesn't matter what you've done in your past, what you are doing right now, or what you want to do, God wants to bring truth, and it's always to move you closer to Him. Does that make sense? Tonight we are moving on. The first two sermons was a lot on preparation for marriage for the young people. Tonight we are moving up and we're going back to being single, but we are definitely moving into marriage as well. And next week we've got Tanya Manda here, and she's a grandma and she's going to go for it. All right. So we're just trying to cover everything. And I just pray that a truth or the many truths tonight will just come into your life. Just say to the person next to you, there is a gap. Nidi gap tussen jou tande nie, net, there is a gap. Okay, did you manage to do that? Okay, now tell them, you are going to fill the gap. Tell them. With something. Whether you like it or not. Okay, we're going to get to the gap. So we go to weddings, and we always joke about people like me, pastors or dominees, that has a little book with the wedding sermon in. And I always joke that these guys go to the same page and they start preaching. And what passage would that typically be? Come on. 1 Corinthians 13. All right. Let's read it. Does someone want to get married tonight? Okay. And then we hear this, and we're sitting at the wedding, we're like, oh, niece. Love is patient. Yeah. Makes sense. Love is kind. Yes, I know that. All right. It does not envy. Duh. That's what we think. It does not boast. Cool. It is not proud. Where's the food? Canapes. It does not dishonor. We think, yes, that makes sense. Are you with me? It is not self-seeking. That makes sense. It is not easily angered. That seems right. The last time I heard it, still agree with that. It keeps no record of wrongs. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa. Because some of you are married to someone with a file cabinet. And it's got dates. Dating back from the 70s. Or for some of you, months or years. And when the right circumstance or the wrong circumstance comes along, you're like, Remember when, like, oh my hat, she's going back there. Because we don't pick up on this part. It does not delight in evil. Oh, that sounds cool, but it rejoices with the truth. That's cool again. It always protects, always trusts. Whoa! Always. It always trusts. That's crazy. It always hopes. It always perseveres. Yes, that is the word of God, but there's one exception, and that's my husband. You don't always trust that man. That's true for everyone else. But have you met Rudy? He's sitting in front. It's the word. So what does it mean? I'm just going to break verse 7 up. If we go to the next slide, there's four things that makes me a bit uneasy and should make you uneasy and cause you to ask some questions, which will bring truth and cause you to move and grow, which is what you want to do tonight. It always protects, it always trusts, always hopes, it always perseveres. Now, what I'm going to do, I'm just going to take us to the gap, and then we're going to go to 6 and try and put them together. All right? That's where we're going tonight. This verse tells us that love itself in this world where we live in, finds itself at places where there is gaps. All right? In this world, one day our love with God will be perfected. In this world, we see dimly, but one day we will see clearly. Our love will be made complete. Are you with me? But do we get to love in this world also while the love is still incomplete? Yes. And this is the playing field on which love plays out. Can we just go to that previous slide again? Thanks, Lauren. Why is it important that love protects? It must be that there is stages in love where there needs to be protection because something, if you think about a home where you live, is breaking in. All right, so if someone breaks into your home, you stand up and protect. So there's places in love where someone needs to rise up and act as a protector. Okay, so now we know there's danger in love and they need protection. Whoa. Okay. Love always trusts. Why? Why does love have to trust? Because in this world, in your love relationship, your marriage, or as you're going on to marriage, or well, even true in your family, just with relationships, but we're off allowing ourselves to be specific with romantic relationships, there will be times in that relationship where there is what? Doubt and suspicion. But scripture says that love trusts and triumphs over that. Who of you, let's be honest, should be everyone, just see who's asleep. Who of you have felt in a relationship at some time, you don't have to say today or just before church, have ever felt doubtful or doubt in something in the relationship you're in? All right. Welcome to planet Earth. It's how it works here. But there's a love that Jesus teaches us that helps us to trust beyond our doubt and suspicion. Are you with me? There's a gap. I'm going to get to that gap now. It always hopes. Why does it need to hope? Because there's times when there is no hope for you as far as you can see. Faith is the substance of things unseen, the evidence of things hopeful. I don't know how we're going to get through this in this marriage. What does love do? Hopes. Now, you and I, we all have a box we call love. My son, I mean, he's barely speaking. He can say, Akas Lifayo. Okay? He's already got a box. There's a moment where he says that line that's normally before he goes to bed or when I say to him, his box of love is being formed. What this scripture is saying is whatever's in your box of love, let me tell you what that is, what love is. So get into your box and rearrange. This is the love of God. There is times in on earth where you will doubt, but love hopes and love trusts. Who have felt some way, even in a past relationship, let me just give you an out here, okay? I can't go on anymore. Eka, it's a bar means. Love perseveres. Even, I don't want to open that box, in a relationship in the past that was not your husband to be, love can still persevere. If you are married, love can persevere and the marriage should too. Are you with me? Right. Love will put you in trying positions so that you must see those things coming up from you. Now, let's talk about gaps. Relationships will have gaps. It's true for all relationships, with your boss, with your friend, with your school teacher, if you're a school teacher, with the pupils. But now we're focusing on romantic relationships here. Love will have gaps. Relationship will have gaps. What am I talking about? Nicolene, can I bring your frofro? When was, if you can remember the age, more or less, when you first thought and dreamed of marriage? Klein, what? Caleb's eyes, 3. Ru? Never thought about it. Carla? Young, right? Yeah, would most women say when you were little? I mean, that's what girls do. Guys, I don't, maybe a bit later. University. You ask a guy, when last did you think about marriage? You know, I haven't gone there before. Here's the thing. So you start to think about it, you dream about it, you draw a little picture, there's a little church, you've got you there with the hair, that's you in the picture, everything is perfect. You start and build an expectation for one day when you will get married. Right? That is your expectations in your heart. Now the marriage you engage in, this is how our home is going to look. We're going to move and everything's going to be fine. And then you get there and it's not. what you thought in your mind it's going to be. So you have two things. You've got an expectation and a experience. How you experience it. You get to marriage with a whole bunch of expectations. But my mom, when my dad came home, the food was ready. You never thought about it. For you, that's just what a wife does. You get home, yo vrou is in die bad. There's no food on the table. There's not even food in the fridge. Because in their home, dad used to do the shopping because he worked in town. And mom stayed at home. And so when he brought the groceries, mom could cook it. No one's in sin here. We just have expectations, experience, and now there's a gap. Are you with me? Now you can take it further. You say you're going to be home at 8. It is 5 past. I expected you to be here at 8. My experience is you here 5 past. You said we're going to have some special time on Saturday. This is the wife speaking. You said we're going to have some great time on Saturday. He said, we're all having a great time. We're watching the Stormers. We're buying steak. It's awesome. I've got this little piece of chicken that you always like to eat. And we're having a great time. Yeah, Stormers. You know, expectations, experience, and there's a gap. Now, check this out. There's an amazing thing about this gap. Let's go to the next slide. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoice with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. You know what that says? It says love looks for an opportunity to rejoice in the awesomeness of a relationship. There is some evil there. There's some stuff that doesn't work out. Whenever there is a gap in what you thought is going to, it was to be and it's not, let me tell you something. You fill what's in that gap. You determine what comes into the gap. Something will move in. It's probably going to be a anger or trust. It's going to be despair or hope. It's going to be perseverance. No, we're going to be okay. Or, I don't know. But you're going to put something in that gap. And what this chapter is telling us is that love is something that's bendable and usable by those who love. You determine what you put in the gap. If your husband has a great time with Jesus, he worships him. Well, let's make the wife the good one for a while. Okay, she loves God. She spends time in the Word of God. She hears from Him. The love that she's receiving from Christ cannot help you fill the gap you experience. That helps her with hers. When she faces a moment where she needs to decide to love you or scream at you, the love that she gets from Jesus determines what gets into her gap. You determine what gets into your gap. Are you with me? You have got a responsibility. Now, she is the reason there is a gap, okay? But you decide what gets in there. This is awesome stuff, and I'm going to tell you a few cool things. Let me just say this. They say, studies have shown people that are madly in love in their old age and that have done great with marriage. They absolutely, to the point of giving over, they ridiculously give one another the benefit of a doubt. To ridiculous measures. I know he loved me. He thought a great Saturday for me is a Stormers. Yay, you got it wrong. I like when you take me for tea. Can we do that tomorrow? That's how they operate. They always come and give them the benefit of a doubt. And move from there. You determine what you put in the gap. Let me tell you what. We're going to get to sex just now because all the young people are getting worried. Don't worry, we're going to get there, okay? If your love ability is not exercised, because we grow in love. Did you know that? We grow in this. A lot of young couples start off, it's rough. And God teaches them and grows them. We grow in this. Let me tell you what happens if you don't learn from Jesus to fill the gap with those things, to protect, to trust, to hope. If you don't learn that, what you are communicating is the opposite. Are you with me? It's not hope. It's not trust. You start subtly to communicate suspicion. And suspicion communicates rejection in subtle ways. Okay? And what happens when someone experiences rejection from a person? They close up. Okay? And suddenly that married couple, they don't talk anymore. They don't talk. They start to live like this. You see, when you speak to someone, have you been with a person and then you meet this person, maybe you know them and they're so kind, you just want to share your day with them or share this hurtful thing that happened in your life. Who's experienced that before? You just, this person says, I can share. The opposite is true when we don't fill the gap with love. Our partner starts to close up. And then we stop to talk. And when we stop talking to one another, we got problems. And so we really want to trust God with this. So let me just make a statement, then I'm going to go on. Love is bendable and the lover gets a responsibility to fill the gaps. Everyone with me? You fill the gap. So we hear junk from Hollywood, and I always make jokes about this, but it is true. You don't make me feel that anymore. No. You must fill the gap. Amen? I can't help that I have feelings for that other person. It's unbiblical, and it's junk. You can help. You filled the gap. Are you with me? It's your responsibility to love the person God has given you. Now, communication that really helps relationship here is communication like, I really love our marriage. And you know what? Let me just say, you're not fighting, you're just talking. Let me tell you what, I'll give my life for this marriage. Man, I've got so much hope for us in the future. Once you start having those kind of conversations around your tables at home, you are teaching one another to fill the gap with love and not suspicion. Let me tell you what, I love you so much. I will fight for you no matter what. Now, tomorrow something happens, there's expectation not met. She remembers, my man loves me. I'm sure there's an explanation for that. That's where we want to get. Does that sound godly to you guys? It's where we want to move. It's what we see in Scripture. Now, let me talk about sex and where it fits in, because it is important. Sex is not exclusively responsible for a bridge in the gap or wrong stuff getting in there, but it is also important, and this is relationship month, so I'm going there. All right, check this out. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexual immoral person sins against its own body. It's an interesting verse. Or do you not know that the body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you? Viet ye ni, ye is a temple. Ne? You still sing that with the kids. Ye is a temple. It's a great song. It's true. Will they ever put the previous verse in that for the kids? I don't think they will, but this is just a thought. As a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God, you are not your own. In that time in Corinth was bad. If you think Secunda is bad, let me tell you what, that place is rough. They, not originally the Israelites, it was in fact worship to go to the temple and be intimate with a prostitute. It was worship unto foreign gods. It's a crazy, crazy time. The gospel gets into that place and it's total counterculture. Okay. Paul is saying, flee from sexual immorality. Know this, your body is a temple of the spirit. Now, the belief that went around is a lot like we see today. I honor Jesus on Facebook, but everything else I can do as I please. There's a separation between my mouth. If I confess Christ, I can do, this is just flesh. This is just, what is this? This is going to the grave. That's the idea. What the person, this is only a body. I don't care for that person. It is only physical. Sex is only physical. It's like doing squats. It's like doing push-ups. Okay? What is important is my heart. Can you see the separation? And back then, that separation was a big thing. And this is what Paul is preaching to. And what he is saying is, no, no, no. Your body is a sacred place. Not in a very weird sentimental way. Let me tell you what, the Holy Spirit, He's in your body. Okay? So He's going deep. And let me try and just get an emotion from you guys to land the scripture. Who of you have ever been bullied at school? Just hand up quickly. Okay. Now, I was a bully at school. I also was bullied at school. There was times when I was hit with a fist. Okay. Let me tell you what. It's not nice. All right. But you work through it and you're okay. It's physical abuse. Are you with me? Let me ask you a question. Why is it, and we asked this last year as well, so hard for someone, a girl, a man, or a woman, even when they are 30, 35, or 25, why is it so hard and why does the hurt surface so quickly when they get married, when they need to start to deal with life, and they were sexually molested as a child? Why is the hurt so deep? That when that person get married, what often happens is, and the husband touch that person, that there's a feeling of, I want to get away from this. Why is the hurt so deep? It's only physical. It's not. Are you with me? I'll tell you what, it is deeply spiritual. Why is it that a woman can be with a husband that beats her constantly, hurt her? You see the marks. She would not confess that he's doing anything. She loves a man. He can abuse her and do whatever he wants. Until she hears of the other woman. That betrayal is what breaks the relationship. Why? I'm telling you now, because sex is not just physical. It is deeply rooted in our spirits and it binds us to a person. And so the man can hit the woman, but as soon as he sleeps with another woman, she's got the courage to go. It's a betrayal in our spirits that we are not meant to experience. Are you with me? If I make the point and I'm telling you guys that sex is not just physically, do you hear what I'm saying? It's a spiritual act. We are very vulnerable in that area. Now, let me just say this. I've got 4 slides left. It's already difficult to fill the gaps in our relationship. Going back to the gaps. It's already difficult. If you want to make it a whole lot more difficult, throw sexual sin in there. It is miracles that's required to recover that trust. It's doable. 2 people meet one another. They've known God from the beginning, like Murray. It's already difficult in marriage to get to understand and love that person, to understand they love you. And when there's misplaced trust for a moment or expectations and experiences, it's already difficult. Bring sexual baggage into that. It is so much more difficult because it cuts so deep. So deep. Now remember what I said in the beginning. I'm not here to make anyone feel guilty. I'm here to invite you to a higher place with God. Place of healing. Okay, everyone? Let me tell you one or two stories. I was in a sexual relationship with my wife because we went out when we were 16 and we were very stupid. When we were 18, we gave our hearts to Jesus, both of us, and we broke up. Terrible relationship. God started to heal us. So I had my moment where I had to stop, and some of you maybe have to do that in your own life as well. And we started to worship God, pretty much like what happened to Murray. And God started to take me to relationship weeks like this. In Stellenbosch, you had relationship week. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday. And then you're thankful. Okay. We're all working, so we're doing Sunday, Sunday. 3 years later, I started to notice, you know, again, she was in Cape Town. She worshipped God there. She was in the church. She came back to Stellenbosch and I started to notice her. And I picked up that I've changed and that she has changed. We're different people. And I went over to her place for coffee and we started the relationship as friends. And then one day I asked her out and we made a decision that we will not kiss until we get married. Because we knew where it led to the previous years. Are you with me? Now, it's interesting that time was very difficult, but God is building to my life before that. And what happened is, if I think back, if I were to push her boundaries when we came together again, I think it would really hurt her that I would go to that place where I would be willing to push a boundary that I know is sacred for her. And I think she would have rejected me in that sense. And that gave me immense respect for her, but it also awakened me to responsibility I have. We had a second chance. Are you with me? But now, because I was her fiancé, right? We're getting married. Now, you know how your thoughts go. Oh, in any case, throw, man. Come on. You at least think that once or twice. Never on this year. I'm not joking. Nie jy nie, bro. Dit was net ek. Am ek om lag? But let me tell you what. I trust my wife with a trust that you won't believe. I am never jealous of her. When she has to speak to a man or quick deliver something or be on a phone, I never have an issue of 100% trusting her. Because when we were engaged and I was the only man in her life, and we were young, we were 24 at that stage. Jou hormone gaan so, papi. Okay? Even then, she would not give her body to me because it belonged to Jesus. And if she could be faithful in those months leading up to our marriage and keep her purity and not give her body to me, I know she would never give her money, her body to another man in this world. Never. Because we've been there and she did not offer it up. Can you see the trust that it builds? Now, some of you are married and you did not have the opportunity to have a good start like us because you met God afterwards. It can be repaired, that trust, through repentance, through forgiveness, and building up that trust again. What do I put in the gap if for a moment, the enemy wants to say, oh, your wife is looking around. That doesn't even, boom, in the gap. She loves me. Because the trust has been built. And God is inviting you to that place of trust in your relationship. And you can get there. Are you with me? I'll show you how. Number one, to the singles. I want to say something to the singles, to the married, to everyone. Purity before marriage will help your spouse to fill the gaps with love and not suspicion. If you are in school, you guys from the youth, and you're not married, you are already working on your marriage. you already. Do you understand why I'm saying that? You are already setting yourself apart as someone that is pure. And so when the godly man comes, he sees this is a woman that can be trusted. Amen. If you've messed up, just hold on, we're getting there. To the marrieds, I want to say this. Build the trust of your marriage bed with kind, open, and loving communication. Maybe you had a rough start. Maybe you started in the opposite. Okay, maybe you dishonored God before you were married and you found Him in marriage. You must not divorce, all right? You stay married. You made a promise. He's going to help you where you are. What you do, it doesn't matter what your age is, you start to bring trust into your marriage bed, right? You tell that woman that you don't have eyes for any other man, any other woman. Oh man, it's the world we live in. We're laughing. Firstly, I like women and I like you the most. You tell her that the fact that she's getting older does not have an effect on how much you love her. You speak it to her. If you don't talk about that in your marriage, something is wrong because it's part of your marriage. Okay? You build the trust. You get any and every element that's in your marriage bed that does not belong there out. There's no place for pornography in a marriage bed. That's not other people that does not belong there. You take it out. And you, as the man, go to that woman and you ask her for forgiveness that you've allowed this. You're building trust. You're helping her. You're building trust up to the place where she in the future can put into the gaps love, patience. I'm going to fight for this. You're taking suspicion away because you're talking with a woman. And the same for you. Ladies, you speak to him, you tell him you're a good man, kind to him, you build the trust. You have to talk about stuff and you have to talk about sex. Because everything that's a part of your life, you must talk about. All right. And you build the trust. Now to everyone, singles and married, restore your purity with repentance and commit to a journey of healing. It's all the same. I'm not better than you because I found Jesus before I got married. Right? If only you found Him in marriage, it's okay. Your timeline is just different. When you are single and in sin and Jesus comes, you've got the opportunity. You can ask the Holy Spirit, should this relationship end? And you can heal. If you are married, you don't end the relationship. God will help you with people to heal the relationship in the marriage. Are you with me? There's some people in our church that had to do it the way around where they had to experience God's healing in marriage. I'm telling you what, it works. There's no need for people to divorce because they look back and they see they have messed up. It creates a gap. The enemy says, run away, don't persevere. The Holy Spirit says, persevere. You're going to do great. You're going to be okay. God heals you both ways. What is important is that each of you think, what do you want to do in the future when it comes to your marriage and your romantic life? That is a question you need to answer for yourself. I also know it's a very vulnerable topic to talk about. It's a very difficult thing to talk about, even with your wife. Let alone bringing a couple in you trust to help you guys through something. That's very difficult. But it is what it costs to repair the broken walls and to help you fill the gaps with good things. Amen? He loves you so much. And He's inviting you to a place where He will heal you and heal me. Isn't that amazing? He's so good. Last one for the night. Then we'll finish off. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Everything. Everything. And I'm going to be blunt about this because it's relationship month and I'm allowed to, because I've got the mic. Amen. If you're a girl and something happened and you feel like you're not pure anymore, He makes all things new. Amen. He does it. He washes you. He restores you. And He makes you beautiful from the inside out again. And the same for you guys. That's what He can do. And then He said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Now that's news I want to hear. Now, why am I going so hard for this? Because I'm telling you what, marriage and family is under fire, and it's not a new thing. It's been since the beginning of the world. It's not worse. It's just more in the newspapers. Okay? But I want you to do great. And so what I've done tonight is I brought truth, and what I want you is to get into the truth as deep as you want to. Get to someone, connect with someone, speak with someone. But there's nothing like a marriage where there's a great trust and love. I'm telling you, it is sweet. It is awesome. It is worth it to follow Jesus. Amen. Let's stand up tonight. This, I know it's a vulnerable moment. Let's do this together. I want you to know tonight that there's hope for you and your marriage and the children that's coming. There's a great hope, but it is only in Jesus. Amen. It's only in Jesus. And if you are single tonight, I want to ask you to think about this. That you make a commitment that you'll never give your heart to a man that's not able to look after it. Don't do that. You protect your heart until Jesus says, this one will look after. God's going to make you mad because you're going to have one expectation. It's going to be another experience. I'll give you stuff to put in the gap. He's a good man. He's kind. He's generous. And he loves Jesus. You be patient with that. And if you're a guy and you are only interested in the package, then you are being stupid. And you are selling yourself so short. You ask the Holy Spirit to open your eyes. She's a good woman. She loves Jesus. Let's not be like the world. Amen? Let's not be like the world. Because then our relationships might end up like the world. Father, I want to thank you for everyone that's here. I want to thank you for every marriage. Some of our marriages, like we heard from Mari and Carla, had a good start because you dealt with us in advance. And some of us, we're really in a rocky marriage right now. But here's the thing. As long as we are breathing and the Holy Spirit are with us, we will be okay as long as we trust Him and give over. Before I just pray into that, I won't be long. I just want to ask, if there's someone that would love us to pray with you, that before we get to relationship, you need to just make right with Jesus, okay? And then I want to ask that someone pray with you and just restore that broken relationship, and He will help you from there. And if there's anyone like that, I'm going to count to three, and you just put your hand up, and I'm going to send someone to pray with you, okay? If you want to make right with Jesus. And 1, 2, 3, quickly put up your hand. Is there any hands? Thank you for that hand over there. I appreciate that. Is there anyone else that would love someone to pray with them? If you could just quickly indicate. Now what I want to do, someone will pray with those people, great, is I want to pray, I'm just going to pray for healing in the area of sexual brokenness, and I'm going to pray for marriages. And what you do is you tap into that prayer with your own faith, and you say, yes, Lord, for me also. Yes, Lord, for me also. All right? Father, I want to thank you that you've made us to be with someone on earth. It's your will, it was your plan, and to be intimate and to have sex, it's a great feeling. It's from you. It's not evil, it's not taboo, it's awesome. It is from you. And but oh, how we have hurt ourselves with that. Taking our most vulnerable hearts to people and made ourselves vulnerable at times and inflicted hurt on ourselves, and we are unable to fill the gaps. We have become so suspicious, and we are living on the edge. If there's an expectation not met, we blow up because we are hurt. You heal every heart in this place that calls on your name in that area right now. You heal, you touch them, you do that. It's what you do. You heal so well. You healed me and so many marriages in this church already. And we are only starting in this town because you are changing the families in this town. Start with me and start with us. And Lord, I want to pray for every marriage. Those of us that's been married 20 years, and those of us married one day, or in a relationship on our way, you teach us to do this well. You are so good to us. We trust in you, and you heal our every scar. Lord, I just come against shame, because some people feel that it's only us, it's only in our relationship that we fight and that we have words and that we often raise our voice, but it's not. It's the world we live in, and therefore we trust above that. And we fight for our marriages, and we hope in the future of our marriage, and we persevere. And for those that are single, Lord, I pray that they will already work on their marriage as they walk with Jesus and experience incredible intimacy with Him, that they set themselves and their bodies apart, Lord, because you know where they are going. You are preparing them for you to marry them one day and for a partner on earth, Lord, both. We give over to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Guys, we went on a bit longer tonight. I'm sorry. We're going to dismiss the meeting now. This is vulnerable danger zone where we are going. I know some of you are sitting here. You know, the Trana's flock. It's okay. We go there once a year. It is important, okay? All I want to tell you is that you are extremely valuable. If you want to chat to someone, find me or find someone that you pick up as a leader in this church and make a connection. We back you guys and we love you guys. See you next week.